Hey gang, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, you stream your movies, you stream your music, why not stream your podcasts? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher's an app that allows you to stream over 40,000 shows, including How Did I Get Here, right to your smartphone or pad. Get the very best in news, comedy, entertainment, science, sports, and music delivered right to your phone or pad. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic, fantastic show for you today. You know, a lot of times on these shows, I have old friends of mine. Like, oh yeah, I knew this guy in the 90s. Oh yeah, I met this guy in the 90s. But this person I've known since I was like, I think like 11 or 12. This is Brenda Green Mitchell, and she's the co-director of this documentary about the Broken Spoke here in Austin. It's called Honky Tonk Heaven, The Legend of the Broken Spoke. And it came out earlier this year, and now it's available on DVD, and you can find it at brokenspokefilm.com. If you live in Austin, you can find it at Waterloo Records or at, of course, the legendary Broken Spoke. It is absolutely moving. They did a great job telling the story of the Broken Spoke and how it stayed alive. And I don't know if you live in Austin, you've watched like these buildings come up around the Broken Spoke. Like there's all this new development literally all around the Broken Spoke. And then there's this little building sitting there, the Broken Spoke. It's still there. She spent a lot of time working and talking to James and Annetta White, the owners of the Broken Spoke, and all the people that play there, including people like Willie Nelson, Jerry Jeff Walker, Ray Benson, Dale Watson, Alvin Crowe, Jesse Dayton, the Waco Brothers. And the Broken Spoke, if you don't know, is a legendary honky-tonk here in Austin. It's a dance hall, a place where people have been going since James and Annetta White opened it in the early, mid-60s. Okay, they decided to open this place, and it's been open ever since, and it's had the likes of George Strait, Willie Nelson, Bob Wills, Ernest Tubb, all of these legendary artists play there, and people have residencies there, and they're very serious about their music there. They don't mess around. They like country and Western music, two-step and music. Good music is what they call it. Anyway, Brenda, who's a dear, dear friend of mine, Brenda Green Mitchell, she co-directed Honky Tonk Heaven, The Legend of the Broken Spoke with Sam Wainwright Douglas. And as I said, this DVD is available. It is a beautiful story, and it is a great historical document of this musical place. And the great thing about Brenda, and we talk about this, is she's been involved in music for a long time. Like when I was in my early teens and I lived in the Woodlands, they lived in the Woodlands as well. And they opened a place in Spring, Texas called the Wanchee Brothers Cafe and Saloon. They bought it. The Spring Cafe, I think, is what it was called too. But they started having music there. And coincidentally, my very first gigs that I ever really played were through Brenda. The first time I ever played on stage at a place was at the Wanchee Brothers Cafe and Saloon with my friend Kathleen Luce, who was married to my friend Mark Hallman at the time, who you've heard on the show, and he's the guy that interviewed me on my show. And then when I played my very first show with my band was at her stepdaughter Kayla's birthday, and it was in her living room. Okay, so I played my very first band show in Brenda Green Mitchell's living room. I'll post a photo because she gave me some photos of it last year at Christmas, some beautiful photos of that fun night playing Kayla's birthday. All right. Anyway, Brenda and I have a great conversation. We have a great conversation about this movie. It's absolutely fantastic. Go to brokenspokefilm.com, find out, get it from there. Or if you live in Austin, you can go to the Broken Spoke or go to Waterloo Records and get it there. All right. It's an absolutely fantastic movie. Before we get to this conversation with Brenda Green Mitchell, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on with me. If you live in Austin tonight, January 20th, Skyrocket is playing a rescheduled show at Cedar Street Courtyard. Come on out. We start at 9:30. We play till 1:30 in the morning. It's a good time. All night long. All right, let's get to this conversation with my dear old friend, Brenda Green Mitchell, who co-directed Honky Tonk Heaven, The Legend of the Broken Spoke with Sam Wainwright Douglas. You can find this great documentary at BrokenSpokeFilm.com, or if you live in Austin, go to Waterloo Records or The Broken Spoke. Now, before we get into this conversation, you'll hear this song that Alvin Crowe wrote about The Broken Spoke, and it has James White, the owner of The Broken Spoke, kind of doing this spoken word about what The Broken Spoke is about at the beginning of the song. So this will get you into the vibe of The Broken Spoke, and then we'll have a conversation with my dear friend, Brenda Green Mitchell. All right, have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time I'd like to welcome y'all to The Broken Spoke, the last of the true Texas dancehalls, and damn sure proud of it. All right, we ain't fancy, but we darn sure are country, and the good news is we ain't changing nothing. We ain't gonna get none of them hanging burn baskets on that ceiling. We ain't gonna get none of that Pierre water out here. We serve very few pina coladas. But I tell you what we do got. We got cold beer. We got good whiskey. We are the home of the best chicken fried steak in town. And we've got good country music. We got Alvin Crowe and the Pleasant Valley Boys. All right. Last but not least, we have good-looking girls to dance with. Let's hear it for the girls out here. All right. I tell you what, over the years, we've had so many good things happen to us right here at the Broken Spoke. Right where I'm standing, we had Bob Wills right here. We've had Willie Nelson. We've had George Strait. We've had Tex Ritter, Ernest Tubb. And I'll tell you what, one of the best things that happened to us about 15 years ago, a young man from the Panhandle, he put his fiddle under his arm.
So, growing up in Smithville, you got to go to a lot of honky-tonks, and you're saying that they're like the social hub on Saturday nights where everyone in the little town gets together, and even in, I guess, different neighborhoods had honky-tonks in cities.
You know, they were seemed to be mainly small towns. It's like all these small Texas towns had, we called them dance halls, you know. Mm-hmm. A honky-tonk really is a Texas dance hall, and I heard Jesse Dayton in his interview say, you know, we all went to dance halls growing up. Everybody went to dance halls. My family all went. And he grew up in Beaumont, which, you know, coming from Smithville, Texas, that was kind of a big, big town.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the Germans and the Czechs, as far as Central Texas, really brought that tradition from Europe. You know, just having a community gathering place where you sometimes eat. I mean, grandparents would introduce their grandchildren to somebody else's grandson. You know,
right.
Romances were made.
Yeah.
It was, in a way, a beautiful thing that I sort of took for granted. I thought everybody did that.
It was the less formal gathering the night before church.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is I grew up, you know, Baptists, and we supposedly weren't supposed to dance.
I know.
But we all did.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we snuck into church and we were just fine. Never kicked out. It was just everybody danced, you know. We really did. The Catholics were really the ones that danced.
Yeah.
But the bands played a lot of country, but they also played polka.
Right.
And the Hispanic influence came in, so that was beautiful, seeing all those cultures. That's where they melded.
Yeah.
You know, there was no coffee houses, there was no small pubs or anything like that. There were these great dance halls, so that's where musicians really got together, you know, other than in living rooms.
Right.
You know, they just sort of, I think they mixed it up, and a lot of bigger bands, you know, played all kind of instruments.
There's a thing about you, because I've known you, I mean, obviously people have heard it in the intro, but I've known you way longer than I've known most guests. And I've seen you, like you guys had the Wunschy Brothers, the Spring Cafe. You've always been, it did not surprise me that you made this movie. Like, it seemed natural for you to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to move into filmmaking, you're going to make a movie about the stuff you've been doing since you were a kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I've never dreamed I would make a film myself. And if I did, I really had no idea what subject it would be. I helped my sons are both young filmmakers, so I've worked on their sets before. But I think it's interesting how, you know, reflecting back on life and how those milestones, like running the cafe, I really, really wanted to bring Texas music to the cafe. And it was a cafe, but we had this great wall. So we started out just with acoustic acts, and it was beautiful. I mean, we had Towns Van Zandt there, yeah. Jerry Jeff Walker.
I met Towns Van Zandt there yeah. when I was a kid.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Rusty Weir, B.W. Yeah. Stevenson. And it was kind of cool because I think the word sort of got out in the country folk world of Austin musicians
yeah.
that we were sort of a stop on the way to Houston.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys played Anderson Fair.
Right. Can I ask you this real fast?
Yeah.
As a logistical question as a musician, were they two different? Did you view them as two different markets? Like people could play Anderson Fair on Friday and play One Two Brothers on Saturday and it wouldn't be a conflict?
You know, I'm trying to think back if they actually did that, and I think a couple of them did. Because
yeah.
like Sheik Russell lived in the area
right.
and he would, you know, there was enough of a market, you know, inner city Houston versus out there. You know, in Spring, Texas, the Woodlands, there were enough people, I think, that we didn't have a problem with that at all.
Right.
So, yeah.
So when was the first time you ever went to the Broken Spoke?
I went to the Broken Spoke in the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't a regular. You know, I went to the Armadale World Headquarters. I just made the rounds, you know, when we went out. So I would say that that was the first time I visited the Spoke. And when I would come back to Austin, we lived outside of Houston for a long time, and that's when we had the cafe. And Scott and I moved back in 1993 here. And so we would occasionally just go there. It was just fun. Just, you know, great place to, as you know, people watch and dance, country dance.
Yeah.
So always loved it.
Yeah.
I really didn't know James White that well then. You know, I just went and danced and saw his smiling face and said hi to him and shook his hand. But that was kind of it, you know, until my 50th birthday. And that night, I had a big party there. And we, like, took over almost half the place. And, you know, I think that was the night that I just, you know, I was on the dancing and having so much fun and then watching my friends dance. And I just was sitting at a table drinking a beer and looking out there, neon lights, cowboy hats, everybody having a good time. And that's when that voice said, somebody's got to document this place.
Yeah.
You know, years went by.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I think that a lot of people, like the layman, don't understand that, like, when you get an idea for a documentary or even a film, it's like years before you put a camera, point a camera at something even.
Well, you know, I was just curious, and every once in a while I would look online, just, you know, I was just waiting for
it to happen.
So some
right.
Austin filmmaker to do it. You know, I didn't feel like I was the one to do it at that time. So I would check in every once in a while, and of course the Broken Spoke was covered. I mean, BBC, you know, all the press from all over the world would come and do stories on the Broken Spoke, but nobody told the whole story.
Right.
And at that time, I didn't even know what the whole story is. I just had this gut instinct that it needed to be preserved. And that was it. So what really happened is years went by, and it took the bus getting stolen to really get my attention. And I was like, what the?
Because they had a bus back there.
Yeah, they had a bus in the front, and it was becoming almost as famous as the Broken Spoke.
Yeah.
People, you know, musicians were getting their pictures
made.
Yeah,
when was that it got stolen?
It must have been, let's see, we've been 4 years out of filming, so I'm just trying to think back the year. I don't know.
Sometime
don't
in know, the Jason. Last decade?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that sparked an interest.
That sparked an interest, like, oh my God, the landscape is changing here. What's happening? And right about that time, just a little later, they laid the foundation for those condos, those apartments next door on either side of the Broken Spoke.
Yeah.
And that's when it really hit me. I was like, what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
You know, we're about to have some big old tall buildings on either side of this Broken Spoke. And this used to be out in the country,
yeah.
a dirt parking lot. And so, you know, Austin was really changing. And I kind of got scared. It's like, what's going to happen to the Broken Spoke? And so that's when I really started talking about it.
And
how
so, did you, how, yeah, how do you, let's go
how did
this,
I do it?
How do you go about that? You never made a film before, right?
I'd never made a film before. You know, I knew people, I knew sound guys, I knew, so I have a really good friend who is an amazing Austin filmmaker. Her name is Laura Dunn. Mm-hmm. The film that put her on the map was called The Unforeseen. It was about the Barton Springs.
Okay.
And the fight between the environmentalist
right.
and Circle C developers. So she took that on. And her cinematographer was Lee Daniel.
Right.
So I met Laura before I actually committed to do this film. And I talked to her. She was one of the first ones. And I was like, Laura, I really don't have the experience. And she just deadpanned me. She said, you've got the gut. You've got the vision. Go for it, girl. And so she introduced me to Lee Daniel. And Lee, oh my God, to have Lee on my team, what can I say? You know, he started the whole Austin film industry with Richard Linklater.
He was the DP of Slacker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slacker, Dazed and Confused, Boyhood, just name them. Fast Food Nation. So he is a walking encyclopedia of Austin music. And so anybody that we were going to interview, Lee was like, oh, yeah, I filmed him in 1978. Oh, yeah, I filmed him in 84. And then a story. You know, he always had stories.
Right.
So it was so wonderful because he had, and you know, they all knew Lee. So Lee came on board really early. But what happened, of course, I had to get permission. I had to talk to James and Annetta White, the owners of the Broken Spoke. And so I am also friends with Jerry, Jeff, and Susan Walker. And I was over their evening one, their house, just drinking wine one night, and I was talking to Susan, who is a fabulous businesswoman and really has guided Jerry Jeff all these years.
Yeah.
And she said, well, let's go. I said, yeah, where? And she said, let's go to the Broken Spoke. I'm going to call up James. You need to do this documentary, and I'm going to sit there with you, and we're going to go talk to James and Annetta. And she picks up the phone and calls them. And we make a date to meet at the Broken Spoke. And we do that right in that front room that I really call the honky tonk, the yeah. restaurant.
Yeah, I like that part.
And they couldn't have been kinder and more open. In a way, I think they were kind of, you know, James tells the story that, you know, he's done so many interviews.
Yeah.
You know, they come in and they're out.
Yeah.
And so he's so cute. He calls it documentary.
Documentary.
He has this wonderful country way of so many words are just precious. But so he just said, sure, I'll do a documentary. And I don't think he had any idea how long it would take. But he was so open. And we got started like a month later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's such a wealth, even just in the characters. You know, like him, you know, like he's a nice guy, but he's a flamboyant kind of like over-the-top dresser, and like, you know, he's like an institution in his own, like the characters in the story make the story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into character-wise? Like, were you like, this is amazing. I didn't even ask for these people.
No.
They are entertaining as hell, man.
I had no idea. You know, I knew Annetta was a piece of work. I mean,
yeah.
boy. So the musicians were scared of her. Really, seriously, I see people skirting around, you know. But so I knew that. I knew that she wore the pants and he was the nice guy. And, you know, they had this great, wonderful working relationship. And but it's truly, I've laughed many times and said, if I had wanted to make money or if we'd wanted to make money, we would have done a reality show.
Yeah.
because the characters that, you know, they're there at the Broken Spoke. It's true. I mean, you can, any night, go sit right there in the bar in the front room and just wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy to this day, a dude that that lives right off of South Lamar, and he rides his, he rides his horse down South Lamar to the Broken Spoke and hitches up. Comes in and has a drink.
That's crazy. So you go to the Whites, they say yes, you get with Lee Daniel, he says yes, and then what do? You start it's just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
I know you have to take it in steps, but how does someone take this huge wall of information and start taking little pieces?
So before we actually, Lee came on and we rolled the camera, I met with James and Annetta out at their ranch. I met with Terry White, their daughter that teaches dance. I tried to get to know the family better. And found out they're unbelievably honest. That's the beauty of them as documentary subjects. They don't hold back.
Yeah.
They'll tell you, Annetta, Terry is just like her mom, especially. James is more diplomatic, pleasant, always has a story. But those girls, just whatever's on their mind comes out.
Yeah.
So, we started by just going out to the ranch and filming, and we just... The story was just evolved. It was quite interesting because I really, really wanted to tell the story of a small family business surviving in this rapidly growing city.
Right.
Here they were. They started out in 1964, just a mom and pop. They weren't even married. They were, they got married a year into owning the business. And James says, I didn't even know what I was doing. Popped them four beers at a time. Beer was a quarter each, and liquor by the drink in those days, people brought in,
Okay,
people brought in their liquor and they had the setups. And he tells the stories. There were a lot more fights because people brought their own booze in and there was no cutting them off. They would just drink and get in big old fights.
Yeah.
He said quite a bit. And we just sort of verite style showed up. We would decide which musician we'd want to film, and we'd get their permission. And they were all so wonderful, gracious. Everybody wanted to interview, and
they're all great interviews too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and there were a few we couldn't even use because, that's the hard thing of any film is that you have all this great footage and you have to cut and cut and cut.
Right.
Yeah.
You said that when you started out, you were trying to tell the story about this family business that's trying to survive in this growing city. Did you find that as you went on making the documentary, there was even a different... story? I find that when I talk to people that make documentaries, they started out to do this one thing, and then halfway through, they realized what they were doing, and it's a slightly different story about the same people, but the story that they're telling changes a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the things that changed that I learned, I discovered that I didn't know when I just vowed to myself that I needed to make this film. Is that the Whites actually don't own the real estate. They don't own the dirt beneath them.
Right.
So they own the Broken Spoke. And so that made it even more fragile. I mean, here we are. I was thinking, are they going to sell out? Will they get tired and then give in to the developers that bought the property around them? But then I find out, no, actually... the developers own that land and there's no protection. So that was one thing that I learned, and it became more important than ever to get this story out, to be a voice for the Broken Spoke, because you've witnessed a lot of iconic places in Austin that sort of made, and this is what gets me, we tout the live music capital of the world, but what are we doing to protect those places? So that became an obvious theme to me.
right.
pretty early on yeah. when I made that discovery. Like, this is important. So
the fact that you got those developer guys on there, it's interesting to put a face. You know what I mean? Like a human face. And yeah. hear the person talking. You're like, oh, that's a guy. He doesn't want to destroy the
broken spoke. I thought that was really important. Yeah. And I feel that I learned that from Laura's film. If you ever have a chance to see that, it's called The Unforeseen. And even more so than our film, she really showed the developer side. I mean, she almost equally showed the developer side to the environmentalist side. And we took it a little like, I definitely wanted to hear from those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They probably, you know, their probably first gut was when they saw the whole thing is like, oh boy, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
But, you know, meeting them, one of them had been going to the Broken Spoke forever. You know, they both were Austin dudes. They claim that they wanted to save the Broken Spoke. But even in the film, they're like, well, you know, who knows? You know, they didn't say we're going to forever keep the Broken Spoke.
Right. Right.
So there we go. And since our film, they've sold to new developers that own those apartments around the Broken Spoke. And yeah. And so James says they're nice guys too. But, you know. So I'm, you know.
It's funny because you could see, how if you invested, if you were a guy that lived in like Chicago or something. And you invested in this thing, or even in Dallas, you invested in these great apartment buildings in Austin. You come down and see them, and you're like, wait a minute, what is that thing?
Yeah, what's this cactus right here?
I mean, you can see from that side, but to us, it's like, oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
Hang in there, buddies. You know what I mean? When you're driving by. So you went in, how long did you spend doing those interviews?
We filmed very off and on over 3 years.
Wow.
And yeah. I mean, we could have just knocked it out in a month, but I decided to take a little bit more of a relaxed, you know, Lee would leave and go on another project and come back, and certain musicians would be there regularly, others not.
Right.
And so we just sort of went along with it. Time passed. You got to stop and raise money. You know, all these things. You know, that's why documentary filmmaking or regular feature film, you know, gets in and they do their thing and they're done in 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months.
Right.
Documentaries. I was so naive when I first started this. I met with Rebecca Campbell, who's head of Austin Film Society, and she recommended that I talk to a couple of local filmmakers, and one of them ended up being Sam Douglas, who later on ended up joining me as a co-director and the editor.
Right.
And Sam's done a lot of sort of PBS type of documentaries, but when I met with those guys, two things I was naive about is the amount of money it would take to do this. And secondly, the time.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, we'll do it in a year. And I thought that was a lot. And I think we could have.
Yeah.
You know, we could have. But David Horstein, who is his office buddy and also a filmmaker here, Sam and David both said, well, documentaries usually take 3 to 5 years. And
Whoa.
That just floored me, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And now that I've done it, I get it. You know, there's just things that come up and other, you know, your sound guy goes there and it's just a different feel. It's kind of like being in a band. You just, you know, there's times that you just can't rush it. You got to just go with the flow.
Yeah. Did you guys discover, did the story that you were telling change in editing? Because I know sometimes that happens too.
There's
like
just
you come across some stuff and you're like, oh, we can follow this line here and there's your story.
Yes. There were definitely little side paths that Sam helped. And because he'd done more films than me, that he was like, think we're gonna, if we include that, we're gonna just sort of add another 10 minutes to the film, and then we got to look back and see what does that really add to this story? You know, because, and that's what happened. You start out with, you know, our film ended up being 75 minutes, but, you know, at first it was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we then cut back another 15 minutes. And it's hard.
Yeah.
It really is, because there was a lot of good stuff that we could have put in there. But we wanted the story to be fairly tight, of course, engaging, and yet cover all the things that we wanted to cover, which James being the central character and the star, I mean, oh my God, what a man to document. He has a photographic memory. He's a master storyteller.
Yeah.
He can just sit there and look at a photo in his tourist trap, as he calls it, that little funky room with pictures of all the musicians through the years, and tell a story, and he hasn't forgotten a thing. And I have to say that we interviewed a few musicians that had been there for a long time that, you know, he would remind them, don't you remember, what year was that? Well, you know, yeah. James has it. I mean, so, oh my God, he's like a documentary filmmaker's dream. He really is, you know, because he's got facts, he's got memory, he's got a wit. He's so happy by nature. He really is. I mean, if you remember that scene, for those of your listeners that haven't seen the film, where he's driving his Cadillac to work. He's lived in South Austin, right off South Lamar forever, not far from the Broken Spoke.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that big old wheel in his hands. He's like, this is my dream. I get to do what I want every day, and people let me do it. And that is so classic James, kind of like a country gentleman, like, people let me do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's what was so endearing about him.
It's almost like Confucius or Buddha or something, hearing that, because you're like, well, yeah, that's like the truth. That's the best way to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny that you say Buddha, because we were filming out at his ranch in right outside of Dripping Springs, or, you know, in that area in the countryside. And he has his favorite rock, and it was really important to me that we, with all the dancing and the music,
when it goes there,
that we left and that we had some peaceful, quiet time in the film. And so, you know, I asked James, where's your favorite place on the ranch? And so he takes me to this big rock, and the vista is just amazing. It's just beautiful. There's no homes. You know, it's classic hill country. And, you know, he got a little faded, flowered cushion pillow from one of his chairs in his log cabin, and he sticks that under his butt on the rock, and we caught the back, you know, and Scott, my husband, when he saw it, he just deadpanned, hill country Buddha.
That's totally the feeling that you get, though, in those scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I have to say that David Layton, we ended up using Lee Daniel and David Layton, who's another fabulous cinematographer in town.
Mm-hmm.
So Lee at times wasn't there, and Sam, when I brought Sam on to, what happened is I filmed about a year and a half by myself as director, and I got into a point where I felt like I just needed a partner on the storytelling.
Right.
So we interviewed Sam to edit, and I could have just kept him as an editor, but what I learned is that he had wanted to do a documentary on Texas dance halls years ago, and he sort of put that on the back burner. So he had this love, too. And so, you know, I just ended up asking him, you want to just finish this out with me? I think I could really use your help. And it just worked out great. But he had been working mainly with David Layton, so certain scenes we used David, and they ended up David and Lee co-DP'd.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, we really had a team collaboration deal going on this film. Yeah.
It sounds like it. And, I mean, I got to say, it ended up going to a bunch of different festivals, South by Southwest, the Dallas Film Festival as well.
Yeah.
Nashville, the Houston Cinema Arts Festival.
Yes. We went to Rockport, which is a groovy little festival, and a little town called Dubuque, Iowa had a, you know, I was like, where is Dubuque? But it's a beautiful town on the Mississippi River, and our executive producer lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, I want y'all to do this. And then we just got back from Amsterdam.
How was that?
That was amazing. It was like they love country music. You know that. Yeah. I mean, Dale Watson had been there like performing like 3 weeks before we got there.
Yeah.
So very well received.
That's why I always felt like I did so badly in Europe, because I was like giving them their own thing back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, send us a guy with a cowboy hat that's singing some country songs, because we don't need you here. We got plenty of people like you. I think, is Andrea Ogden the girl I went to high school with? She's my friend.
Hell if I know. I don't know.
Her birthday is like a couple days after mine.
I think October. It probably, yeah. Where did you?
Austin High.
Yeah.
Austin High.
I bet it's Andrea.
Yeah. Yeah, so weird. I haven't talked to her in like 3 years.
And I love
her. I wonder how she's doing.
Yeah, she's a great gal. Yeah. I met her through Eki Malik, who is Terrence Malik's wife, who's a dear friend of mine. And Eki loves the Broken Spoke and wanted to come on as a co-producer. And Andrea and Eki are actually producing films together.
Yeah.
These days. So she joined Eki, and they just sort of helped with some funding, and they're
how
just
awesome.
A blast. Yeah.
Do you, when you know the Maliks, do you show them your movie?
I don't
or
show.
Or do you feel weird about it?
No. Eki, I do. I don't. Do. Terrence. Nah. Terrence. No. But he is Laura Dunn's executive producer. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
My buddy.
I didn't know that.
And Robert Redford is.
He just did a documentary. There's a new documentary that Terrence Malik did, right? That came
behind.
Out like a year ago or something?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, his film is at the Bullock right now.
Yeah, what is it?
I'm having a...
Yeah, me too.
We have to look it up.
He's a guy that, like, I'm... He's a challenging filmmaker, and we need people like that.
You say that because just watching
just
his films...
Just because of Tree of Life. Like, I was sitting next to a person that had the complete opposite reaction to the movie that I did. It was real weird. We're like...
Which was... Was it Tree of Life?
Yeah.
Okay,
mine
yeah.
was like, like... I'm don't tell him I said that, but
no.
I was like,
oh. Yeah.
My friend was like, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen on film. And I was like, what is wrong with you?
That is
it
so
was beautiful.
True.
It's funny.
That film
it's a polarizing
is so
movie.
Polarizing. Yeah. Amazing. I met people that had... I worked on that film. Actually,
you did?
I worked on that film because it was filmed in Smithville, my hometown.
Yeah,
and when
yeah.
I found... And I was a big Terry Malik film from his early films, from Badlands, from,
right.
you know, so and Thin Red Line,
right.
you know, that film, to me, being, it was violent, but it was so beautiful,
yeah.
you know, and it really had a thread that could be followed.
Right.
So when I found out I was going to be in Smithville, I was like, I knew this guy that was actually an attorney on that film, and I said, I'll do anything. I'll work craft services, which is what I did for 6 weeks. And I got to see a lot.
That
and it was
awesome.
Amazing. I got to see his style of directing. So that was all before my film.
Wow.
You know, so that was great. But I do know that about Tree of Life. You know, people that walk out with huge question marks over their heads. Like,
yeah.
what was that?
Yeah.
And others are like crying.
Yeah,
it's so
that's
beautiful.
I walked out with it like, what was that? My friend was like, oh my god, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. He's like, oh man, did we see the same movie? But what an incredible ability.
Yeah.
There's not many movies that can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you took this to all the festivals, and you were telling me at Christmas that James went with you.
Yeah. Like- oh my god, he went to a lot. He loves it. Oh, I mean, he loves it. And so he's like, where are we going next? They didn't go to Amsterdam because they had just been in England with Tony Harrison is a band that plays in the front room.
Uh-huh.
A gentleman who happens to have lived here forever, but he's from England.
Uh-huh.
And so they went over there, I think, in August. And they were like, we can't do that Europe thing again 2 months later. But he wears his sparkly shirts, and wherever we go, I mean, it's like the seas part. I mean, people love him, you know, and the cameras come out, the paparazzi. James is the star.
That is awesome.
So that's why that Buck Owens song, they're going to put me in the movie. So that's why it's so him.
That's so weird. The week before that Tito's party, we had played that song in rehearsal, and not the Beatles version, the Buck Owens
version.
Oh,
wow.
Because it's a slight difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did y'all get James up there that night? Y'all didn't do it. Yeah.
No, but I told the guys,
Maybe no, by next year you night. Should.
Maybe next year. Yeah, yeah. If Tito has us back.
Yeah.
I don't know if Skyrocket's the band they want. That was so funny because I watched that movie the night before we played there.
You're
and
right.
I never play there. I mean, I played there twice with Skyrocket at Tito's parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I go there from time to time. I don't go there a lot, but I go there from time to time to see friends of mine play. But I'd watched that the night before, and it's the music, that the integrity that they have kept. You know what I mean? In the music, like, they don't mess around. They don't have like a disco cover band on Saturdays because business has been slow. It's like, hey, this is a honky tonk. We have honky tonks. Anetta was not. I said we were playing the wrong kind of music.
Did she say that last?
She said I was. I walked by her and I said, oh, hi, Miss White. How are you doing today? And she said, I'd be doing a lot better if these people were playing the right kind of music.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Which I understand. I mean, yeah. You know.
Well, everybody knows that. If you're going to play there, it was a private party. Yeah, it was party. Tito's. We were good that night. Yeah, James was just smiling and
well, their daughter, I'm drawing a blank on her name. What's Terry?
Terry.
Yeah, she's a big fan of ours.
She loves you. I mean, loves you. Once I got a text out of nowhere and she says, have you heard Skyrocket? You got to come out dancing with me. And it was just so funny that she absolutely adores y'all. So that helped a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so. But no, they're so pure about the music.
Oh, yeah.
Know,
there's no.
Years. Yeah. Marcia Ball did in her interview, and I think it's in the outtake, she did this great. She said, yeah, James was here, you know, pure country from the beginning, hardcore traditional country, and all these big old metal buildings started, cropping up all over Austin, and they had this new country sound coming out.
Yeah.
And then she just. Silence, and she said, and they're all gone, and James is still here.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, and you know, one of his favorite expressions is, we ain't changing nothing. And you know, he has that song about, you know, this is the Broken Spoke song. He and Alvin Crowe wrote it and sing it together every Saturday night, every Friday and Saturday night. But basically, we ain't got no Grey Poupon, no Pierre water here. And that is truly the beauty of the Broken Spoke.
No Pierre water.
No, that's no Pierre water here. And it's that he isn't changing anything. I mean, it literally, that's when you see people's faces, no matter where they come from in the world, they're like, oh my God, I've found a real Texas honky tonk.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And that's because James refuses to change anything. And he sticks to country music.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And they do make a great chicken fried steak.
They do.
They really do.
Yeah, they do.
I enjoy chicken fried steak. So you have interviews in this movie with Willie Nelson, Jerry Jeff Walker, Ray Benson, Dale Watson, Alvin Crowe, Jesse Dayton, the Waco brothers, and more people.
Yeah.
And they have great conversations about all the great shows and all the great artists that kind of came through there. George Strait, Willie Nelson, Bob Wills, Ernest Tubb. What happens now? The it's out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
In Austin, it's available at, of course, The Broken Spoke, where it is on a loop on TV.
Right, at The Broken Spoke. You can buy it at the bar anytime.
You can buy it at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest anyone that, like, if you're listening to this and you live in Austin, you're like, oh, I've heard of that place, you should go, because it really is like a... It is exactly what it is.
It's
And there's not many places like that anymore.
I mean, whether I did the film or not, I tell people that all the time. I mean, I tell, you know, I'm getting my hair cut by these young girls, and I'm like, go to The Broken Spoke.
Yeah.
You're going to get, you're going to dance with these young UT guys, and you're going to dance with a 75-year-old country Texas gentleman.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to two-step, he'll teach you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell everybody that because I believe that. I mean, there's so much racket going on, and you walk in there, and it's a time capsule. You're back in time. You sit at one of those old tables. You have a long neck. You look at Ray Benson, Dale Watson, you know, name them. Gary P. Nunn. He's a living legend. He's there, like, almost once a month.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And young up-and-coming
country
people,
yeah,
too.
Like Mike and the Moon Pies play there when they're not on tour. You know, it's hard to get in.
I bet it is.
We cover that in the film a little bit, how James, you know, because people come, you know, I remember running into a band from Alabama. They came in once, this great girl fiddler, and they just stood there sort of stargazed and like, we're at The Broken Spoke. where is Mr. White? And, you know, they went and talked to him. I watched them talk about how do you get booked here. But he's very pleasant, and in the old days, he'd listen to tapes and CDs. Yeah, yeah. They still probably do a little of that in his car, but, you know, he always has you try out in the front room. And if you're lucky, you get a gig in the front room, you know, Tuesday through Saturday night, right. 6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And only after doing your time there are you maybe promoted to the dance hall.
Right.
So it's a system. It works. You know,
that's the way the old places used to be, too.
Yeah.
I mean, even like I came up in that kind of system at Fitzgerald's in Houston. They had like a downstairs place, and you play early in the week in the downstairs, and once you do well enough, you get to go upstairs and open for someone. And once you do well enough, then you get to headline. I think it's kind of a good...
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It sort of also gets you exposed to a smaller crowd, and it's more intimate in the front, and then you go in the back. But, you know, the beauty of the stage there, you were just there performing, you know, is that... I mean, I guess for a musician, I'd love to hear your side of it. But, you know, the guys that I interview joke about it. Like, you know, people fall into their on the stage, you know, at their feet. And, you know, it's just really personal.
I see that. Yeah. The one thing that stood out to me in your movie is there's video of, I can't remember who Bruce Robeson's singing with, but he's on stage singing, and he's like six something. And he's totally like hunched over singing like this.
Oh, my God.
That ceiling is so low.
It's so low. Him and Ray Benson.
Yeah, him and Ray Benson. Yeah.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
They'd have to play on their knees there.
Yeah.
So it's available there. It's
at
available
the
at the
Spoke.
Website, which is brokenspokefilm.com.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also available at Waterloo Records.
Yes.
Here in Austin. And if you live anywhere else in the world, just go to brokenspokefilm.com and you can get it there and mailed to you. Sam Douglas, Brenda Green, Mitchell both directed this beautiful film. And I'm trying to think about, okay, yeah, I covered all this stuff in my notes. Okay, so now you said you were going to Sundance with another film.
Yes.
What's going on with that one?
It's Laura Dunn's.
It's Laura Dunn's film.
New film.
Okay.
It's called Look and See, A Portrait of Wendell Berry. And if you don't know who that dude is, look him up. I am a co-producer on her film, and I am very, very honored to be involved in that film. I took definitely a back seat. You know, I was not like a hands-on director.
Right.
We talked a lot. I helped bring in some funds, you know, helped her with the fundraiser, that kind of thing. And she just wants me to be there. You know, it's a big deal. I'm so excited. I really am.
Be.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
So, yeah, like I said, Robert Redford is her. Robert Redford and Terrence Malick believe in Laura so much. This is the second film that they're like the executive producers on. So it's a big deal. And wow. Yeah, her films, Wendell Berry is a poet. He writes books. He was a tobacco farmer. He is a man of the land. He's a beautiful writer, and he has a huge cult following. He came to Austin, and the Paramount Theater was like sold out for two. I mean, people just come out of the woodwork when they hear. So Nick Offerman, do you know him,
yeah,
the actor?
Totally.
Okay,
yeah.
So Nick is a huge Wendell Berry fan, and so he early on found out that Laura was doing this film, and he is a co-producer also.
Wow.
Yeah, so he'll be there. That's exciting.
Wow, that's very exciting. Yeah. You ever met him before? He seems really funny.
Yeah, I did. I met him on Bob Byington's film, which is Somebody Up There Likes Me.
Which was a total surprise for me. I was watching it on Netflix one night, and then you came up as a producer.
Yeah, yeah. I helped on that film.
That's a great movie.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah,
it's
really good. Yeah. Somebody Up There Likes Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was another one that I had a little
movies.
Bit of connection with him. So yeah, you know, the directing was totally different and new and wonderful, and you know, just learned so much from it. I really did. You know, I jumped in, and I think that more than anything, I learned my lesson. Just you're going to find out your way. Just go. You can do it. I had enough music knowledge and some film knowledge and just gathering the right team and anything in life.
Yeah.
But that was it.
It just seems like your whole life you were like working towards making that movie.
I think it's was. Yeah.
That's
I
cool.
I think I was.
I mean, just like from the spring cap, like from when I knew you when I was like 14 or whenever.
Yeah, I mean, I think it started when I was dancing the polka when I was a little girl with my grandpa, you know, at those dance halls. Then to owning the cafe and meeting all the musicians and then to move in Austin and realizing, let's keep the broken spoke.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What do you hope that people will get out of this movie watching it?
You know, I think the main thing that I, you know, really hope that people come away with it is just a huge emotional sentiment about how incredibly important and special that little dance hall is. And that we can't, I mean, those few small places that are left that really define the personality of Austin to me, of what made Austin, Austin, mm-hmm. they need to survive. Otherwise, we might be Dallas
just
or
be
Houston,
a suburb,
another city,
or, you know,
yeah,
or even worse, like
yeah.
Arlington.
Yeah,
no offense to anyone that lives in Arlington, but it's like a place that doesn't have any indigenous thing. It's
yeah.
all like Best Buy and
yeah,
you know, there's no nothing from there.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, this is an amazing movie, Honky Tonk Heaven. I strongly urge you to go to brokenspokefilm.com and order this movie. And if you live in Austin, you can go to The Broken Spoke, of course, and get it. And Waterloo Records. Is there anything that I'm missing?
No.
I really love this movie. I think everyone should see it. I'll talk about it in the intro and the outro, so I'm not blowing a bunch of kissing
your
butt
too much.
Thank you
so much, JC.
But I've known you.
I really appreciate it.
I've known you well more than half of my life. Oh,
yeah.
God, so much more.
Yeah. You were a little boy.
I've known you for like 4/5.
Yeah. I mean, you were at the cafe.
I was. That was
a
first.
Lot. When you were so young,
also,
you saw so many of these guys.
People need to know this,
okay.
is that both of my first gigs, my first gig ever on stage, just guitar playing with Kathleen, was at your place.
Oh, my gosh.
At
that's
the
right. Was,
yeah, that night
yeah.
with Christine Albert, who's
yeah.
coming on the show soon.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
And the other one was the one that's by my wall from... that you gave me last year from when I played Kayla's birthday with my band. That was,
oh,
our,
that
first,
was,
that was
it.
Our first band gig.
That was your gig.
Yeah, that was our first
that
gig.
That was my daughter's, who was one of JC's best friends,
one
your
of my best,
friends. Best
friends growing up.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that was your big gig. All those girls were screaming and fainting.
Yeah. Listen, man, if you want to make it happen, if you're in eighth grade and you play a sixth grader's birthday, you're happening. Well, Brenda, thank you so much. Everyone get to brokenspokefilm.com. Pick up this movie, Honky Tonk Heaven. Story, the legend of the Broken Spoke, a beautiful story about beautiful people and keeping this great place alive.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda.
Wear your jeans and your cowboy hat, just cross that old river, 'cause that's where it's at. It was born on the south side of Austin.
All right, Brenda Green Mitchell, co-director of Honky Tonk Heaven, the legend of the Broken Spoke. Absolutely fantastic documentary about a very special place led by very beautiful people, James and Nanetta White. What a great story. Go to brokenspokefilm.com to pick it up on the internet, or if you're in Austin, you can pick it up at Waterloo Records and, of course, at The Broken Spoke. I urge anyone who lives in Austin and has never been to The Broken Spoke, get out there and go to it. Check it out. If you're coming to Austin, you want a true slice of honky-tonk heaven, baby. You head on down to The Broken Spoke. I want to thank Brenda for coming by. Brenda Green Mitchell and Sam Wainwright Douglas did a brilliant job directing this documentary. I suggest you get it. BrokenSpokeFilm.com is where you can find it. All right? And hey, while you're out there looking up Broken Spoke Film stuff, don't forget that you could subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on your iPhone podcast app, on Stitcher, on TuneIn. Basically, anywhere you want to find this podcast and subscribe to it, you will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. And of course, you can always go to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column, and then you'll notice that there's months and years listed. Well, you can go back and scroll through our archives. There's over 550 shows out there. So go out there and listen to them. Great conversations, great country acts, great people like Kimmy Rhodes, great people like Brandon Lee. Lots of people out there. Go out there and check it out. Great, great stuff. All right? I want to thank Brenda for coming by again. Everyone get out there. Check out Honky Tonk Heaven, the legend of the Broken Spoke. Find it at brokenspokefilm.com. Thanks again to Brenda Green Mitchell for coming by. I love her. I've known her so long that it freaks me out sometimes. Thank you for listening to the show. I hope you all have a great weekend. Don't forget, if you live in Austin, tonight, January 20th, 2017, you can find Skyrocket at Cedar Street Courtyard. All right? Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
By the highway, that means quite a lot. Hop it. All your rock joints and discos, you know where they can go. Just make my country, that's all I'll ever know. It was born on the south side of Austin, Broken Spoke was its name. It'll always be a winner, it's destined for fame. So if you like waltzes and polkas, two-steps, Cotton Eye Joe, deep in the heart of Texas, they're the place that you should go. Yes, deep in the heart of Texas.